Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, my next guest joins me in studio to talk about her wonderful husband, who unfortunately is suffering from complex post-traumatic stress disorder. And Sonia Lewington is desperate to get Jason, her husband, the help he so badly needs, and so much so that she set up a GoFundMe page to try to cover the costs. And Sonia joins me in studio this morning to share her family's story. Good morning to you, Sonia.
Good morning, Patricia.
And firstly, thank you for joining us in studio. I very much appreciate that this isn't an easy story to tell. So I suppose let's start at the brighter part first. Tell me about how you first met Jason, and go back on all of that, because it's school sweethearts, isn't
yes.
it?
So we met when we were 16. Jason was 17, and we were doing hip hop classes in Mallow, CDYS actually, and Jason was the hip hop teacher at the time.
Oh.
And like, there was only a year between us, but we clicked, and he chased me a little bit.
Okay, that's fine.
But eventually we got together, and we have been together since. And
so you married your hip hop teacher?
I did.
And who's the better hip hop dancer?
Oh, definitely.
Is it okay?
Definitely him.
And so you married in 2018, and has Jason always worked in what can only be called the caring profession? Is that all he's ever done?
Yeah, like, he's always wanted to help people, and he's always gone for careers where he can do that.
Yeah.
So, like, he kind of started off initially as a gym instructor, helping people reach their goals. He was a Zumba instructor. He
got a fit man.
Yeah. He did swim lessons. He was a lifeguard. He then went on, and he was volunteering with civil defence and different places like that. He's went in, and he's paramedic science down in UL and got his degree in paramedic science.
So it didn't surprise you when he said, I want to be a paramedic?
Oh, no. Like, he always wants to help people.
Yeah.
And he works with Helium Arts, which is a charity that do art therapy for kids with disabilities.
I was looking actually up online. Actually, there's a picture of Jason. I think I saw a picture of Jason in his paramedic uniform on it, and I realised, oh my God, that's Jason.
He was on their advertisement flyers
and
things like that. And he was always asked for, like, he was their star paramedic. The kids just loved him.
Yeah.
He just gets on really well with kids.
He seems to be a people person.
He's very bubbly and outgoing. And if you saw Jason now, he's a shell of himself.
Yeah.
You know?
So he qualifies as a paramedic. And where did he start work then as paramedic?
In the UK. So
okay.
He did his paramedic degree in UL here in Ireland. And then with the HSE here, they weren't linked.
Okay.
So they had to go to the UK for their so many hours of experience. So Jason actually worked in the Liverpool City for 12 months. And in the
busy spot,
months, very busy.
Yeah.
Like, in the time he was in Liverpool, he had over 600 patients. And they say, like, here in Ireland, when you're as a paramedic, you may not even reach that many patients in your whole career.
Wow. Wow.
And like the severity of the cases.
So thrown in at the deep end.
Oh yeah, straight in. Yeah. And I mean, you're going from one call straight on to the next with
no break. No break.
Like you're told change, go on to the next.
Did he love it?
He loves it.
Yeah.
He still loves it.
Yeah.
He came away from it. And he went to work for Eli Lilly in Cork as a diabetic specialist, and he progressed with them, and he still did Helium Arts and some private ambulance work on the side here in Ireland because he does love it. He loves helping people. And then he...
When did you start to see a change?
So it all kind of went downhill in September last year. Jason was working at a rally and there was an awful accident, and unfortunately it ended in a fatality, and Jason was the paramedic to treat the patient and then had to bring him to the morgue and bag and tag, and it was just an awful experience for him. And when he came home, like obviously we were talking over the phone, and he told me what had happened, and he had to stay up there longer because obviously incidents reports and things like that had to be done. And but when he got home, he was different. I knew it broke him.
And was that just the straw that broke the camel's?
Yeah.
When you look back now,
like this is ongoing. I think he's been carrying this with him for a long time. He's really good at masking how he feels, and like. As he say, like he's a pretender, or you know, like he can just carry on and continue. And
he'll
just
put on the smile. Everything's fine.
Yeah, everything is okay, and he'll carry on. And but in the inside, then he's falling apart. But after that, it broke him.
And do you think it goes back to that year in Liverpool?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
If not before us, yeah.
So when he came back from the rally, from the road traffic accident, what counselling service is there for that? Shaking your head. Nothing.
There was nothing provided for him. They did like a debrief.
Yeah.
Up there, and where they do their incident reports and things like that, and a little debrief, and
you go home.
You go home. Yeah.
So you say he was broken. And he literally changed.
Yeah. Like, he stopped going out. He stopped leaving the house. Everything was, like, he was overanalyzing everything. We went to a shopping centre, the Crescent, and we went down. It was supposed to be a family day. We went down and we were picking up bits. But, like, Jason is constantly worried about us in open places like that because he's thinking of all the things that can go wrong. He's looking for exits. He's looking for fire extinguishers. He's looking for, whereas I'm walking around the shopping centre going, oh, they're cute shoes.
I know.
He's there like, okay, there's an exit there, you know, and it's just...
Hypervigilant.
Yes, his mind is just working differently at the moment, you know. He just sees.
So he went to his GP, I'm assuming.
He did. He went to his GP, and he was going back and forth for a while, and then the GP referred him to North Cork Mental Health Services.
Okay.
And there's the office in Charleville. So he met for an initial assessment with the mental health team nurses, and then he met with the psychiatrist. And then after Christmas, he had another appointment with the psychiatrist, and I actually went along because I was like, surely there's something we're missing here. Like, there has to be someone that can help. And I literally said, like, so where do we go from here? So he said that, oh, I'll see you back in June in 2 months' time. And I was like, so what do we do between now and June? Because Jason needs help. And like he said, Jason is in crisis. He needs support now, but they just don't have the support to give him right now. And the support that they do have is not specific for what he needs. He needs someone specialised in trauma that can help him work through it. And it just doesn't seem to be here in Ireland.
Just doesn't exist, is what?
Yeah.
And that's when somebody pointed you in the direction of the States, was it?
He did, yeah. So
the psychiatrist
did.
The psychiatrist said, go to the States.
Yeah, he said, if you have the money, go to the States, were his exact words. He said that Jason could be waiting years and years and years to be treated, and it might not even be the right treatment.
God, that's frightening, isn't it?
Like, it's hard to hear that from the experts. Like, where does that leave us?
Yeah.
You know, so we've been looking and Googling and trying to find, like, we've had great support from people reaching out and contacting people they know within Ireland and outside of Ireland. And we're just trying to get Jason reassessed by not a public psychiatrist, but a private psychiatrist, that maybe the public one missed something. So that's where we're at the moment. And we've contacted a place in Cork, and I rang Jason's GP yesterday, and he sent the referral for that psychiatrist. So hopefully that will bring something back to us. But as it stands, they're telling us that there's nothing here in Ireland to suit
and
his
what's,
treatment.
And what's Jason himself saying to you? Is he saying, help, I need help?
Oh, yes, he's crying out for help. He's literally crying out for help. We reached out to all the previous companies that Jason worked for in the paramedic industry.
Yeah.
He contacted the crisis centre in the UK when he was there in 2018. They still haven't contacted him. Now, that was a horrendous call. It was... I actually wrote it down because I wouldn't be able to. So if you want, I can fill you in on it. So it was, they were called to a fall and they arrived. Jason was the paramedic on scene. He went over to assess, and it turned out to be a massive multi-system trauma. I won't go into detail. It's very gory. It was a jumper from a car park in a shopping centre in Liverpool.
Somebody taking their own life.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, like, it ended in a...
And he got the call saying somebody's had a fall.
A fall. So they weren't even mentally prepared for what they were going in for.
Yeah.
Like, a fall could have been a trip over a step.
So when Jason would have come back from a call like that, would he talk to you? No.
No.
Yeah.
It's very much he kept it to himself. He's opened up an awful lot now over the last couple of weeks, because I'm trying to get him to talk more, to let it out, to feel the emotion, to try and help him to process what has happened. But like, after that call, say, on the same day, he had to hand over the patient, obviously, to the hospital because he was still alive, and eventually it ended up in a fatality, tragically. And after that, they handed over the patient and had to go back to base, change their clothes because obviously they were covered in blood and what have you, and back on the ambulance now for another call. And
well, that's all going through your head.
Yeah. You know, and you don't have time to process what just happened, what you just witnessed, what you had to do to try and save a person's life, you know. And then you're talking cardiac arrests, like motorcycle accidents. There's so many different cases over in Liverpool that the volume is so high.
It's a big city.
That you're constantly on the go. And you don't get a chance to wind down.
You'll have calls involving children, which you know. And I know your parents, you have two children, isn't it? And two little girls that died sleeping.
Yes, yeah.
Born sleeping, my apologies.
Born sleeping, Brooke and Sophie. Brooke was born in 2009. We were just 18 and Jason was 19. And then Sophie was 2011. And then, like, we were told when we lost Brooke that it was one in a million chances of it happening again. And then everybody was like, oh, you're young, you'll get over it. You have plenty of time to have kids. Like,
God, it's a horrible thing. Why people say that?
I still had to give birth to our baby girl. We still had to bury her. Like, you know, it still happens.
Still a loss. It's still a loss. You're just an incredible woman. I need you to talk a little bit now, Sonia, about what life is like for Jason today.
It's very hard for him at the moment. Yeah. So, like, he struggles. big time with leaving the house. He doesn't want to go out into the world where it's like he thinks it's too dangerous.
It's almost like agoraphobia he has now.
Yeah. Like, so I actually got him to write down the full list of his symptoms of what he has at the moment and how he's feeling.
Okay.
So, like, at the beginning, it just started off with night sweats, gastric problems. Then he started having night terrors, mood changes. His sleep was broken, anger outbursts, difficulty controlling his emotions, panic attacks started to happen, personality changes. He'll avoid any crowds or meetings or any going anywhere that is where there's people.
And this was Mr. Sociable, who loved being around people.
Yeah, he always was. From when he was younger, he was always the centre of attention. Like, everybody just loved him and loves him. But he has the hyper-awareness, so that would be the constantly looking around and planning and preemptive, like trying to see what's going to happen, what's going to go wrong. Intrusive thoughts, suicidal thoughts, flashbacks, memory lapse, low self-esteem, chronic health conditions, weight loss. Jason has lost 22 kgs since about 6 months, in the space of 6 months. He's vomiting, diarrhea, headaches.
So there's physical symptoms. There's physical symptoms as well. He desperately, desperately needs help. So tell me about, you've set up a GoFundMe page.
Yeah.
Have you made contact with anybody in the States that you think may be able to help?
So we have been doing a lot of research, and there is one crowd, the Hanley Group, I think they're called.
Okay.
So they have this, you actually go in there, you're a resident there, so you stay there and they treat you. So, like, the treatment that is needed then is, like, you're on site, you're treated there, you've cognitive behaviour therapy or CBT, eye movement, desensitisation and reprocessing or EMDR, experiential therapies like music, art, that kind of thing, body-centred therapies, leading-edge neurological interventions, brain recovery,
dialectical. How long will all that take?
It depends on the person.
Okay.
And how severe the trauma is. So, like, you could be talking months, years, we don't know.
And the cost?
For 4 weeks in this place is 35,000.
Oh, wow. And that's without travel expenses?
And that's without travel and everything else to go with it.
But residential, and he would be willing to go residential.
I think it's his only option. If he, like, he thinks currently that there is no help out there for him.
Yeah.
It's so sad to hear him say that.
And you want your husband back?
Yeah.
Oh, Sonia, it's just so, so difficult. You're an incredible woman. Your strength is amazing. And I know Jason would say he's blessed to have you, as are the kids. And no doubt you're trying to shelter it from the children, are you?
Yeah.
Okay, the GoFundMe page is Please Save My Husband from CPTSD. And please, no matter how little or how large, we're asking people to please, please donate to the GoFundMe page. Sonia, we will stay in contact with you. And we wish you all the best going forward to you and to Jason. And we really appreciate you taking time out to talk to us today.
Thank you very much.